Hey, man, amen, amen. Good evening, Facebook. This is Pastor Landis Fisher, Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. It is a blessing to be here with you today. Amen. We're glad you've joined us for our Bible study. Amen. We're going to go right ahead. A lot of good things going on this week, and we're very happy to be here. Amen. God is good, and as somebody say all the time, and all the time, God is good. Amen. So we thank him for his grace and his mercy that has brought us through to be here at this time. Amen. Today we're going to continue to take a look at a few things we've been kind of discussing over the past few lessons, and do have an announcement too I'd like to make that you'd probably be happy to hear about, and been working on some things, trying to get a few things in order to be able to send the ministry out even further to more people. Amen. So we'll talk about that too. But in either case, right now, just before we get started, we'd like to have a word of prayer. I want you to remember those who are in your family, those who are suffering, those who are outside your family, those of your church brothers and sisters, everybody. Think about the greater human race, and especially those who don't know Christ. Amen. Because as we are, those who are believers in Christ have been born again, repossessed by God, in order that we might present him to the rest of the world. Always keep your eye focused on that. That's why the writer to the Hebrews said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, we got the writer there in Hebrews tells us that Jesus was focused. He had a focused intention. His mind was set. His mind was made up. He knew exactly why he came, and the feat that he performed for all of the whole of humanity was a tremendous thing, and it took a great deal of focus for him to remain on course and do what he had come to do, because he did it as a man. Even though he was fully God, he was also man, and the limitations of being a man were the thing that I'm sure were more difficult, obviously. But it says, fix your eyes, he writes to you and me, on Jesus. See that? We want to keep our mind and our eyes on Jesus, because he is the author. In other words, he designed and wrote the book, if you will. Literally, he wrote the book. And he says he's the author and the finisher. He came in and completed stuff that no one else could do for me and you, nor for the world, nor for anyone. He was on a mission not only for you and me, but he was also on a mission for God, because God loved us, as it says in John 3:16, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son was in complete agreement, willing to do the will of the Father to save wretches like you and me, to repossess us from the world, which was in the fall of Adam, and that sin was destroying the world, and it continues right now today. So keep in mind, Jesus had a focused mindset, and that's how I want to ask you to meditate on that this week as we are between lessons. Meditate on focusing on Jesus. If we could do that, that's going to fix a lot of stuff for us. So let's pray right now before we go into the Word. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we praise your name. Father, we lift you up. We exalt you, O God. We bless your name because you are worthy of all of our praise. Father, we thank you for the activity of our limbs, Lord God, that we are clothed and in our right minds. We thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength, oh God. We just thank you for all the provision that you have made for us, Lord God, and for our families, our friends. Father, we thank you for protection from danger, seen and unseen, Lord God, hurt, harm, and danger. Father, you helped us. And so, Father, we thank you and we give you praise right now. Father, we bless you and we just like to say thank you, Lord God, for everything that you have done. You keep us going on, Lord God, and you have given us purpose in our life, real purpose, so that we can reach out to others that don't know you in the pardon of their sin and share this good news that you have given your own Son and raised him out of the grave so that we don't even have to worry about the problem of death. Even though the pains of death are all around us, surrounds us every day, Lord God, you blessed us and you protected us and you're taking us through. And no matter what, it can be a whole camp against us, Lord God, but the being with you is better, Lord God. And we have your protection all around, Lord God. So we thank you for ministering angels We thank you that you are a good shepherd, that you go before us, you lead us in the way everlasting. And Father, you gird us and protect us. Lord God, you said you even leave the 99 and come out and get that one if we slip away, Father. So we just thank you for restoration right now, Lord God. We thank you for provision. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Lord God, we thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are listening right now. Lord God, and we pray you use us, help us focus our minds, Lord God. There's so many things in this world that detract from our thinking, Lord God, so that we can't really focus it the way we would like to. But Lord, we ask you, help us, Lord God, in our weaknesses. You say that you let your spirit pray for us because we have an infirmity, because we do not know how to pray as we are. But you let your spirit pray through us, Lord God. So we thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you that we cannot fail because you have called us and loved us with an everlasting love. So this evening, Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sin. Wash us, O God, cleanse us, sanctify us, heal us, and deliver us, Lord, from every unrighteous thought, every unrighteous word, every unrighteous deed. Lord God, we know that Jesus shed his blood that in order that we might have life. And you said if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Father, we come today, open minds, open hearts, examining our own self before your holy throne, knowing that you know all things, Lord God. And, Father, we ask you to give us victory, O God, over the sins that we still struggle with in our lives, Lord God. Help us today. Bless my friends, my enemies, Lord God, everybody who has anything to do with me, and help us to get our minds fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord God, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We pray for those who are sick, those who are grieving, even those who are recovering from surgery. Lord, we heard so many good reports this week, Lord, about people who came through surgery that you brought them through, Lord God, and they're doing well. So, Father, we bless your name. We thank you today, Father. We ask you to comfort the grieving, those who are grieving the loss of a loved one, Lord God, and we just ask for your mercy, your grace, and above all, your spirit right now, Lord God, in order that we might understand your word, and we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask you to open up revelation from your book, Lord God, that we might see it and understand it and do it, and we give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and give God a hand and a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Because he is truly worthy, and he is excellent and worthy of all of our praise. So I'm going to ask you to take a look at a section here. You know, in the recent weeks, if you've been with us, let me make this announcement first. We were able to put Teaching Bible Radio back online. And, of course, it's in its infancy at this time. We had done radio broadcasts for years and years and years. And so now I was looking for a way to freshen it up and also to make it available for the saints. Some of you know we posted online, Teaching Bible Radio will now be a podcast, and it's featured on the Anchor format. And so I want to let you know about that. That will give you another resource to study different topics that we have discussed over the years and get a little bit more studying in times when you're driving down the road or jogging on your street, whatever you happen to be doing, you can go to that Anchor format. Now, we haven't loaded our whole set of teaching in there. We have teachings that go all the way back earlier, and we're going to make sure all that content is available on anchor.fm, and then just put in Landis-Fisher, and that'll get you onto our Teaching Bible Radio site. And then you can kind of just peruse through the list. There's not much there right now, but I was blessed just to see the seed be planted because we know it's going to grow and God's going to multiply it. So we want you to just be aware. It's a wonderful thing. And it's going to connect us to a lot of people who we're not able to reach otherwise or haven't been in the times before. Of course, we're online here on Facebook, and we're also on YouTube and online at teachingbible.org. And so we are making more outlets available because we want the gospel to go even to the ends of the earth, as we have been commanded to do. Amen. So I'm privileged to be able to announce that we are putting Teaching Bible Radio online, and we hope that you will share it with your friends and even benefit from it yourself when you have a lunch break or something, you know, or whenever you have time to partake. Amen. Just to get your mind stirred up in the Word of God. Amen. We spend a lot of time these days looking at stuff that's not beneficial to us, and that stuff kind of poisons the way we think. And I think that's one of the reasons the scripture refers to Satan as the prince of the power of the air, it says. Now, keep this in mind, when that was written by Paul, the prince of the power of the air, there was nothing being transmitted through the air at all. Not as far as radio, television, telephone, internet, none of that existed. But it has a great relevance in our time because the devil is the prince of the power of the air. The spirit who now works in the children or the sons of disobedience. See that? And so his usage of the power of the air has now made it where he can send pollution and poison right into our homes, and we open the door and let it in. And we probably wouldn't let some of the stuff that we see on TV come into our door, you know, but we let it in through our eye gate and through our ear gate. And we begin to listen to stuff and get the philosophy of the world, and it taints the way we think, and it washes out the pure mindset that God would want us to have. Think about this, previous generations who didn't have it, that kind of an influence in their life, did better than some of us today. And so I just want to pull the cover off that thing because it's going to get worse. And we can see it right now because we can know stuff very quickly now anywhere around the world. When bad news comes out or something evil, it hits the whole world in a matter of seconds. And so you and I have to become stewards over what we allow into our mindset. And so that's part of the problem. And sometimes it's very attractive because the devil knows the kind of things that have brought people down. And he understands the particular bent of a particular type of sin that will corrupt you or corrupt me. See that? And so he's dangling bait out there, if you will. And if you take the bait, you got a problem. And so we have to be careful about that. And God wants us to be not conformed to the world, he says in Romans, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See that? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, so it's a contradiction when we think about the kind of poisonous atmosphere that we receive freely, and we, in the name of entertainment, we receive it, but it's corrupting our morals and our thoughts. That's why Paul wrote, and he said that bad company corrupts good morals, because if we take in people who embrace all these things, or we think it's a casual thing and it's not really doing something deep in our psyche, we can get onto a bad track and not really even realize how we slip onto the path. See, and that's why the writer to the Hebrews also says in chapter 2 that we ought to give the more earnest thing heed to the things which we have heard, Hebrews 2, lest at any time we should let them slip. That means they'll slip out of our mind. We intended to do good, but it slipped because we didn't give earnest heed to the things that we have heard. So this is kind of somewhat of a little warning. It's a warning for me too. I'm not preaching only to you. I have to watch these things myself. And it's very easy to get off the track. So this is why you hear us talk a lot about the flesh and the spirit and how there's a war going on there. And the flesh is warring against the spirit and the spirit is against the flesh. That kind of characterizes the battle, the spiritual battle that you and I have. See, and we need to wake up to these things. Sometimes it's subtle. It's very subtle. The devil, as you know, when he came in to bring sin into the world, he said he was the most subtle of the beasts of the field. See, and he slips in, slinks into a situation of perfection. He tells the people there, which is particularly Eve, went to her first, told her God is holding out on you. He doesn't want you to know that when you eat this tree, this one God said don't eat, that you're going to be like him, knowing good and evil. See, and she said, oh, I'm going to be like him. And so he made her think that somehow God was holding out on her. Truth is, she was already like him, because the Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that God made man in the image of God, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So he took something that was partially true, twisted it, and gave God a bad motive, said God's motive is that he don't want you to eat this, because you'll be like him, see, and you are already like him, so he lied. So a lot of that kind of subtle innuendo slips into our life. And we let it in because that's the way we do. We have a tendency to do that. But the fact is, God wants us to rise above it, and he doesn't cast us out. You notice that because we're still here. He could have shut the human family down right then real easily, but that was never God's intention. I want you to know that. He knew that they would slip into sin. He had already prepared to send his son into the world to fix the problem even before it happened. And the Bible is the catalog that tells me and you how that happened and where we are. So he's still putting up with us now. That's the point. And it's not that he's putting up with you. I don't want to put it that way. You know why? Because the scripture says he loves you. And he purposed you for a particular thing. See, he has designed you to be a particular man or woman with particular grace that he has already afforded for you through the blood of Jesus. See that? So don't get the negative side of it twisted. I'm not hearing Paul had to say this all the time when he wrote to the various churches. See, he says, oh, you know what? You sound like you're coming down on us, Paul. Yeah, in a way I am. But I'm more interested in you because I know something about God that you have not understood. And so this is the fact: God loves you. He understands your struggle. He knows everything you're going through. He has ordained you to do great things, mighty acts in the earth for him. And he is going to bring those things to pass. But you just have to learn, like I have to trust him all the time, no matter what you see happening. No matter how the devil tries to get you off the track. No matter how he keeps your pet sin right up in your face all the time. You have to learn sometimes just fix your eyes on Christ and allow him to give you the solution to fix that thing. See, because we got so much stuff that's out of order. And the Holy Spirit who has been given to you if you're saved, and we hope you are, we hope you know for sure that you're saved. That's our primary purpose, is to tell you how much God loves you. He loves you just like you are. He has always loved you. You know, that was a hard one for me. When I first heard that God always loved me, and I thought about, well, why would he love somebody like me? You know, because I really knew myself, and I started to be convicted about how I really was, the way I felt about particular things that were really, I knew it was bad, but I didn't think too much about it at the time. But then when somebody actually confronted me and told me, God loves you, just like you are, I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I don't know about that. And it was hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that he loved me and he always loved me. He understood my struggle. He understood my pain. He understood my temptations and the things that I had given into. He understands that. He knows it. He's not saying it's okay. So don't go make God an accomplice with you in any sin, because he is not an accomplice with any sin, but he knows and he understands the problem better than we do. And yet he has purposed in his heart to love you anyway, gave his son to pay the bill for that, so that it's all clear. He fixed it up where I can give you an all clear, hit you with a high five, I love you just like you are. Jesus paid your bill in full, and let's go on from here now with you understanding that I love you. Let me open up your eyes so you can see my word. And understand I've been loving on man all the way from the fall and the sin. And I love on each one that responds to my love. And that's you, beloved. He wants to love on you just like you are. And so don't let the devil tell you you're worthless. Because we don't. What happens, guilt sets in when we begin to sin and do stuff and then we feel bad about it later on. You know, that's how Eve was. She felt bad and she went and ran and decided, well, we better cover ourselves, because they didn't realize that they had been naked until the sin hit. And so there's always that situation of running, trying to hide, and feeling shame and guilt about sin. We don't want you to feel shame and guilt. We want you to know God loves you. He has made a way for you. He has charged all your sin to Jesus on the cross, who died there and shed his blood in order to make you perfect. You see that? He presents us faultless, like Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's how perfect the mission of Christ was. He is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless. Did you see that? At the end of Jude, the little epistle back by Revelation, when you get a minute, make a note, go back there and read Jude. It's only 25 verses. But it says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. And it's not a hard job. The next verse, part of the verse is, with exceeding joy, to him be glory and majesty, dominion and power forever and ever. Amen. See, so God sees you as a finished work, that you are full of my grace, you are full of my love, you're full of my power. My son has made you perfect in my sight, and I love you that much, and I want to show you my love and teach you how to walk by faith and not by sight. So that's why we study the word so much. We have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. We can't look at what we see and say, okay, this is how the world is going. This is what I'm feeling, or any of those things. None of those are relevant, because God has already made a way for you to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. So we want to grow in that, and I'm here to nurture you in that. That's what pastors do. They lead and guide the children of God in a way that they can be cleansed by God's word, that they can be nurtured by God, the Holy Spirit, and that they can be protected from the weapons of the wicked one who tries to come against you. So this is what I want you to see, and I want you to understand that. So sometimes Paul had to write, and it almost seemed apologetic when he wrote various churches to tell them about some of the problems that they were having. He got word that they were having trouble in Corinth because of separation and sectarianism, where one person was trying to say, I'm of Peter, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Paul, and they were trying to say who it was that had baptized them and make a big deal out of that. Paul said, don't get hung up in that. You know, this is my paraphrase. Don't worry about that. None of that is important, because all we are is servants of God. You know, one servant of God is not any better than another servant of God. Just because you were Peter or Apollos doesn't mean you're better than Paul or Silas or any of the other members of the family who are staying in the word and teaching you what God said. See, that's the big thing. So the thing you and I want to do, and I'm going to get you into a verse here to help you understand what I'm saying here a little better. I want you to see in 1 John, go to the book of 1 John. Now, around St. Timothy, we like to call it Little John, because there's the John's Gospel, which is like 21 chapters. And that's Big John, we call it, or you can go over by Revelation. There are three small letters from John, which are called 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. They're over farther in the New Testament, we always like to say, to the right. And you'll find in 1 John, or Little John, as we call it, around there, it's just one of our phrases we use. In chapter 2, he is writing this. John writes this to you and me, and I want to share a little bit of it with you right now. He says, my little children, see that? He refers to us, 1 John 2 and 1. These things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, see there, he says, God has already dealt with your sin problem, little children. Do you know when we were talking about being repossessed and born again? What that means, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means I now receive a new birth from God Almighty. How does that happen? I trust in Christ. I put my faith in him alone, and I am adopted by God. That's what we were saying on Sunday, talking about being repossessed or redeemed into the kingdom of God. God already owns us, but he owns us a new special way when we trust in Christ. And that's because we are born again of the Spirit of God. And you know what happens when you're born? Same thing happened when you were born the first time. You became a child. Some of you are, and I don't mean this in a physical way, but some of you are spiritually pregnant and you're about to be born. In other words, God has been working on you. He's getting you all set to understand the gospel. And you will be born as soon as you accept it. You will come bursting out of the womb of your unbelief into faith in a new world. And you'll be a new creation in Christ. And you'll be born again. Now, that sounds hyper-spiritual, perhaps. But that's the way it is. And I remember being on that precipice where I wanted to believe. I knew I needed God. I knew I needed forgiveness. I heard the good news that God loved me and he accepted me just like I was. And it was hard for me to grasp it with my spirit and believe it. And then God kept on, though. He kept on feeding me more and more and more, kind of like you being in the womb, being nurtured from a zygote on up until you are a fully mature term child and ready to break that bag of waters and come forth into the world and be born. So it's very similar to that, because God begins to sow seed in your life of truth, of his word, to let you know I love you. I've always loved you. And eventually, when you understand it and you accept it and you see it's not really about me, my big obstacle was I kept thinking it had something to do with me. It's got something to do with me. And if it does, I was analyzing myself like the judge. I'm going, oh, no, it couldn't have nothing. It's got something to do with you. You're in trouble, baby. If you're the one who's got to live up to the standard of God, you have a problem. See, in my mind, I was thinking that. But in the word, it says that God loves you anyway. He's always loved you. He has never changed his position. He didn't suddenly say, oh, you know what? Now you're doing stuff the way I like it, so I'm going to love you now. That never happened. You know what? He loves you anyway. He's loved you every second you've ever been on earth. And it took me a while to get that and just understand it in my mind. And then when I finally did, you know what, I remember breaking down in tears. It put me in tears because I understood, boy, that's amazing that he loves me. And when I accepted it, that's when it really starts, you start to see your soul begin to fill up with joy. You start to fill up with joy because you understand God loves me. What Jesus did when he died on that tree was to pay the bill for my sin and my iniquity. Love me before, you know what, I wasn't even here. You weren't here. None of us were here. We get the word of it from the Bible. That's why the word of God is so important. We learn the message because this happened in history. God centered it in the history of the world. And then we learn about it afterwards. And when we get to the point where we see what God did, and we understand that he sent Christ in order to make us clean, because there was nothing that we could do. See, you have to get to that point where you understand there was nothing that anyone can do. Your parents couldn't help you with being holy in the sight of God. They can tell you the truth, raise you up, take you to church, all that. But you have to come to a understanding in your own heart that I know who I am. I know about my sin. I confess my sin before God. I realize that God loved me, gave his son Jesus for me. And he was crucified in order that the sin that I have done has been punished when Jesus took the punishment. And when he did, he was doing that to show you how much your Father, God the Father, loves you. And he wants you to be saved. And so once you get that revelation and you wrap your mind around the reality of it, that's when the scripture says you have been born again, born of the Spirit of God. Because now we're taking the Word of God and applying it to ourselves. And it's really God the Spirit who's doing that too. We really don't even do that. That's why Ephesians 2 says this. It says, for by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So really, that's not even of ourselves. It's not something that we do. God gives you the gift of faith, where you can understand and believe. Romans 10 and 17 says, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See that? When you hear the word of God preached and explained, faith is imparted to you from that word. And God, the Holy Spirit, gives you conviction. And that's what it says in John 16, that when the Spirit of truth has come, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Sin, because they believe not on me. Righteousness, because I go to the Father. Jesus, the only one, was ever able to go to the Father, who was a human being born from the womb of a woman, because he was perfect and holy and without sin. You see that? And he says, sin, because they believe not on me. That's the only way you can fail to be saved, is fail to believe on Christ. Judgment and judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. See, when Jesus died on the tree, the devil was cut off. That's it. He lost all authority that he had before, and the authority was given to Christ. Whatever Adam lost, Jesus got it back. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. You see that the law could only be a curse to me and you with no one paying the bill. Because why? Because we break it all the time. Even after we're in Christ, we don't keep the law perfectly. Now, we strive to. We set our affections on it. That's what Paul told the Colossians. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. Meditate in the Lord, day and night. The psalmist said. See? And so we start to change our habits, but we don't get absolutely perfect. We have not become perfect, like Paul says, that neither have I become perfect. And the fact is, but God has accepted us, and we have a perfect salvation, because God sent his perfect son to fully satisfy his just wrath against sin once and for all. So it's when you get that, when you understand that and wrap your mind around that truth, the fact that that's what the scripture says, you become a little child born again. See that? And notice what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said unto you, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? He didn't get it at all. It went right over his head. But Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? You know, because this is a spiritual fact. He said, just like the wind listeth, and you hear the sound of it, you see the trees moving, but you don't know where it came from. Neither do you know where it's going, although we have people today who think they know all that. But the fact is, no one knows. He says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When you're born of the Spirit, you accept and believe spiritual truth It's a supernatural transaction that's being orchestrated by God. On your behalf, God, the Holy Spirit, is giving you faith to believe that he gave his son Jesus for you and that he died for you. He paid your sin bill and he got out of the grave to give victory to all people who trust and believe in him. And then he energizes our understanding from then on because he moves in. The Holy Spirit moves in when you believe. He takes up residence. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit, if you will. Think about it that way. God, the Holy Spirit, says, okay, you believe now. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to baptize you. I'm going to immerse you in the truth. I'm going to open your spiritual mind and give you revelation of the word. And I'm going to give you comfort around you for different reasons. We need comfort. There's so many things in the world that assault you and that are militate against you because they're not a part of let's call it not a part of what God's ultimate plan is for you. There's stuff that works against you in the world. And so there are three enemies the scripture mentions all the time in pretty much detail. There is the world. That means the whole atmosphere of the world of unbelievers who are running after, most of the time, is motivated by money and possessions. You see, that's why it says love not the world. We're going to get to that in a minute if I can get my explanation shortened up here. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, are not from the Father, but are from the world. See, and so the world has a tendency to get you and me hung up. And so God comes in to give us spiritual insight so we can take in the word and rejoice in the fact of the victory of Jesus. I'm not rejoicing in any victories of mine, per se, other than I can say, it's because of him. I look to Calvary and give Jesus the credit for any spiritual advances that are made in my life. And that's the truth. And that's what you have to do. Realize that God is the one giving you the victory. You're getting the victory over things. You're getting better because you keep trusting in God. You keep getting conviction from his word. You keep getting comfort from his spirit. And just like a parent would nurture a little baby. The little baby is helpless, can't do anything. And yet God says, okay, just like you, if you were the parent, you'd say, okay, I'm going to feed this baby. I'm going to keep him clean because he can't do it for himself. And I'm going to do everything he needs or she needs to bring them up until they can fend for themselves. And that's part of the joy of parenthood. So think about it that way. God loves you. He has birthed you into the world. If you have believed in his son, trusted in Jesus, believed that he has raised him from the dead, he has put his spirit in you to open up your eyes so you can see what he's saying in his word. And this is why John writes here in 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. This is why I'm writing, because the purpose of the word is to get us out of sin, literally, physically out of sin. God's going to teach you how to defeat sin. He's going to give you authority over sin. He's going to give you power over sin. He's already given you victory over sin already. And when he started the relationship, so he's going to teach you actually how to grow in that process and master freedom from sin. See, and he does it not because you already have stopped, but he does it because Jesus paid the bill. He always loved you. And now I'm going to nurture you like a little baby, like a child, and bring you up. Now, many of you are past that point. I know we got some seasoned saints over at St. Timothy. Some of them have been walking with God for many, many years, and they have gotten a lot better, and that's the way it is. If you keep walking by faith and not by sight, you will continue to improve and your spiritual condition will get better. Your understanding will get deeper. You'll begin to understand more things about God than you ever knew. And you'll be able to have a higher resistance to sin. And that's kind of what studying the word does. That's one thing that it does. We could say it's unlimited. God's word is super powerful. It has more power than anything else on this planet. It's the only thing that's going to be here when the heavens and earth have passed away. So we got to study the word. Now, that's why Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, understand this word and it will give you understanding. It will give you progress in your spiritual life. So God is nurturing you and me. We start off as little children. Little children, he said there. Now moving on, verse 2. And he is, speaking of Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who makes us righteous in the sight of God. Faith in him alone, nothing else. Keep that in mind. A lot of people want to twist the scripture. The truth is, the scripture teaches only faith in Christ, that alone makes you righteous with God.
In other words,
righteousness is a free gift. That's why Jesus said this. Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things you're worried about will be added to you. See, don't go get hung up on the things of the world. Trust God first. Realize whatever you have had before, he really allows you to have it, and you weren't even thinking about it. That's the part that blew me away. I started to meditate on the fact all those years I really wasn't thinking about God. I didn't say I didn't believe him, but I never understood the new birth and the repossession where God repossesses you, takes you out of the regular flow of human humanity, and he puts you in a special category that he calls born again, basically. You're a little child. He begins to nurture you and teach you. And then he matures you, and you start to mature more and more. You'll see that pattern as we look at this first John chapter 2. Now notice it says he is the propitiation. In other words, Jesus alone satisfies God on our behalf for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. See that? So there's potential in the salvation that Jesus provides for anyone in the world to hear it and believe it and be saved. You know why? Because it's not God's desire that any should perish. God doesn't want people to go to hell. He doesn't want them to be living in sin and stuck in it and can't get free. He doesn't want that. That's never been his desire. See, wasn't his desire when Eve sinned and when Adam sinned. That was not his desire. So God has never had a desire for people to sin or to be stuck in it or to be plagued by it or any of that. See, his desire is to, and he's so much against it, that's why he gave his son. Think about it. You know, you think he gave his son because he loves sin? No, just the opposite. He knew that we have a problem with sin. Jesus was the only one who could satisfy him. So he said, I'll give my son for you in order for you to trust him. And when you do, I will give you his righteousness, and I will birth you into the world as a babe in Christ, and I'll start to nurture you and feed you on truth and knowledge and understanding. And that will, in turn, break the chains of sin in your life and set you free. Isn't that wonderful? Go ahead right now. You might as well. I know I'm ready to shout hallelujah, because it's a great thing when we understand exactly what God is doing. And all of this is revealed here. So it says he is the propitiation for our sin, verse 3. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See, that God starts to give you ability to do the right thing. See? He gives you the ability to do the right thing. Let me say this. Everything I do that's right and that's good, God is the one. He's the drive behind it. You know, he's the one that gives me the power and the authority to do things right. And so I give him praise and credit and glory for that. Moving on, it says here, verse 5, but whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we are in him. That's how we know we're in him. We start to see an increasing pattern of righteousness in our life. We start to see where we say, okay, no to this, yes to that. We start to be able to discern what's good. See, and so we want to know what is that good and perfect will of God, like it says in Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God is teaching that to you and me. This is why teaching is so critical and so important. He told the apostles when he sent them out, he said, all power is given to me. What does he mean? I got out the grave. I defeated death. All that happened to me on that cross, people spitting on me and marring me, beating me, flogging me. And you saw all that blood I shed, pressing that crown of thorns in my head, the humiliation, the embarrassment, the disgracefulness, the shame. All of that, he said, I have defeated it all, including death, which I took to myself in order to pay your sin bill. That's what you see on the cross, beloved. Understand that. So when you get this and wrap your mind around the fact that God did this and it's the only way anyone can be saved, and you accept it for yourself, and you say, I believe that, and it's just amazing. It starts to be, you might want to break out in the chorus of amazing grace right now. Amen. Because he is amazing. It's amazing that he would do that for a wretch like me. Really, it is. But now he's starting to nurture you and to mature you. And he wants you also. He told the disciples that all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Tell everybody about this. It's the best news on earth. You know, I see a lot of bad news all day. I watch sometimes when I have opportunity on Facebook, people pop up all kinds of bad news stories about stuff that happened and all that. This horrible news. It's like, wow, well, let me get off of here and go open the Word and read some good news. Hallelujah. Get my mind cleansed and washed in some good news. Because man is going to always develop bad news because you're in a bad news situation if you don't have Christ in your life. If you don't understand the forgiveness of God, that it's a complete free gift that Jesus has paid for in full, because to show you the love that God has for you, and he wants to nurture you and bring you up in the truth and give you victory and power over the kind of stuff that you read about in the news. You know what? This is another thing. I'm just going to say this as a side note. I know my time's getting away. But it's very important that we understand that when people are struggling in sin, I see this all the time when I go to funerals. Folks that are lost really have a super hard time at a funeral because they don't have any basis to hang their feelings on because of the fact that there's a hopelessness in your life if you don't have Christ. Well, when you see folks that know the Lord, it's a totally different thing at a funeral. You go there, there's quite a bit more joy. Not to say there isn't grief. We all grieve. And death is the most horrible thing that's ever been foisted upon the human family, that's for sure. And I'm not trying to make light of it, but you can tell the difference of folks who are saved and grounded in the truth when they do lose a loved one from people who don't even have any clue. It's just like night and day, the difference between the two. And that's a part of real life. So we like to talk about everything in life. I don't like to just sugarcoat stuff, but I want you to understand God is with you. That's why the psalmist said, yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. See, that's important. I need to know that when these kind of times come up, and they certainly will. And you and I have experienced them all the time we do. So it's a part of life. I don't want to skip talking about a part of life that's very important and very critical, because God doesn't do it. He teaches us how to grow and mature in the Word so that we can be prepared for those kind of times. And they will come, and they come every day. So it would be foolish for me to kind of gloss over it and act like it doesn't happen, which we see a lot of people doing. But the fact is, we need to be girded up for every situation we have to face, pandemic, whatever it is, no matter what it is. You see, the kind of stuff going on around you, you and I need to know the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth is greater than all of this stuff going on. And when you know it, it kind of is an anchor for you to know that Christ is there for you. He's already covered you, and you don't have anything to worry about. Even if I close my eyes in death this evening, I'm covered. And so you got to have that assurity about yourself, that certainty that God has covered you. So your soul is covered. It's anchored in Christ if you believe in him. And that's a fear that will go away from you. And a lot of people try to drive you with fear of another sort, but we'll talk about that on another day. Moving on in verse 6, 1 John 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's why it says fix your eyes on Jesus. Start to walk like he did. You know what Jesus did? He said, I come to satisfy my Father. That's the number one thing that's important to me, is to satisfy my Father. You know why? Because he couldn't save me or you if he didn't satisfy the Father. But he came knowing I must satisfy the Father. And it wasn't out of an obligation or anything. It was because he loved you. Jesus loved you himself. Not only does the Father love you, but the Son loves you. See? So his motivation was love, just like the Father's motivation. He said, I and my Father are one. He's loving on you just like the Father's loving on you. And the Holy Spirit also loves on you. That's why he can come into your life no matter where you are once you trust in Christ and realize he was risen from the dead. And he comes in to empower you and me to be able to grow in Christ, come up with a mature understanding of the world. And we really need it. We really need it because the world is getting worse. It really is. It's going down the tubes. People always ask, where are those tubes? I don't know where they are, but we're going down them. And we need Christ. In times like these, you and I need to understand that there is a Savior. We're going to be anchored and rooted and grounded in him. We see stuff going on now on a global proportion, and that will increase toward the latter days as we continue to go on. We'll talk about that later. But all of this fundamental stuff is stuff you and I need in order for us to walk by faith and not by sight. Moving on here, 1 John chapter 2, Moving into verse 7. Brethren, I write unto you no new commandment unto you. He said, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. So in other words, God hasn't changed any of these things. He says, it's nothing new. Again, verse 8, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Now, what does he mean there? The Satan's plot has now come to an end because of the gospel of Christ. Satan was vanquished when Jesus died on the cross. And the scripture even goes on to say this. We don't have time to take it up in the fullness today. But it says that if they had known, if the princes of this world had known who Jesus really was, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know why? Because once Jesus died, all of their authority and power and their grip on men through sin came to an end. And so they bought themselves to an end. They thought they were hurting him. They thought we're getting rid of him. He thought he's somebody, the Son of God. Okay, well, here, we have this for you. We make all these people hate you. And they didn't realize what that did was took your power. It didn't take his. It gave him all authority and all power. See, and if they had known, they would never have done that. The princes of this world and the devil would never have thought to it that Jesus was crucified. But God already knew what they would do. Hallelujah. Woo. He knew what they would do already. See, and so he had written it in the book. And then what they didn't realize is when he does that, all their authority and all their power is taken away. So that's why he says it's true of us. Moving on. he said, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Let's see. Again, a new commandment. Yeah, he said that. Okay. He who hates his brother. Now look at this. Hatred, how you feel about your brothers and sisters, is critical and important. This is why I say it often, and I'm going to say it one more time here tonight, that there is no solution to racism and all the kind of stuff that we see, except people need to be saved. If people are saved, they will not hate their brother. That's true. Check yourself. If you have some hatred in your heart toward anybody, it's a thing you should pray about, beloved. Because God says, I'm taking that hatred out, and I want you to see those people, all these people in the world, from my lens, from my perspective, that I love them, and so therefore we need to love on them too. So it's very hard. That's a very difficult thing. You don't hear a lot of talk about this today. But a person who hates somebody, you have a problem. So if you got some hatred in your heart, confess it to God and let him cleanse you. Let him give you the peace that you need in order to overcome that thing on any level. We don't want to hate anyone on any level. You know, we hate sin and the devil, but it's not the same thing as hating your brother. You see what I'm saying? But we don't have to worry about the devil. God has already checked him. And he did it for me and you, and he's done it thoroughly and perfectly. So we don't really have to worry about that. See what I'm saying? So practice loving on people like what God does, rather than hating on people. We always talk about, oh, you hating on me. Well, yeah, watch out for that one. That's a critical one. We want to practice loving on one another, even our enemies. That's why Jesus said, if you love those who love you, what good is that? Or what thank have ye, the old King James says. He says, even the sinners do that. You know, so we got to take love to another level, get it up to the level where God is and understand that. Well, it looks like time's burning up here, and I just don't want to keep you too late here today, but I want you to see that we are maturing in Christ. It's very important for you and I to understand the realities of the truth of the word and apply it to ourselves. And you know what? If you're not ever challenged to do it, you won't ever do it. Why would I be thinking about doing it if no one challenges me to live up to what God has said in his word? The Holy Spirit is energizing you. If you are a believer, he is energizing you to go deeper in Christ. He's energizing you to go deeper in the word. He's energizing you to have more intimacy in prayer. See, these are the things that are going to make you and me more Christ-like. They're going to make me and you also more evangelistic, where we can reach some other people who really need a touch from God. Amen. You know what else? Jesus has all power, and I'm going to be done here in just a minute. He has all authority and all power to continue to nurture us and develop us, but he also can still do everything he ever did. Like, in other words, can he heal the sick? Yes. Can he heal a mental state if a person is mentally deranged? Yes, he can. He can do anything he ever did. And the problem is not with him. The problem is with us. We need to say, okay, God, we trust you. We know you. We know you love us. We know you can do anything but fail. And by faith, embrace those things that he has shown us in the Word. So the pattern is you and I are growing up. We start off as little babes, being born again. We're going to have a new nature from God, our old nature. Paul said all things are passed away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We go from being a babe to a young man. We grow up to a young man in Christ. And as we get a grip on these spiritual things, and then we actually become fathers or adults in Christ. And Christian maturity is just that. It's growing up. It's a process just like raising a child from a baby to an adult. And that's what God is doing to me and you. Amen. I hope you're enjoying it. I have to say I'm enjoying my walk. I really am, because I'm getting better. I'm a lot better than I used to be. And I'm going over the lines. I'm breaking some of the barriers that have been in mankind for a long time and in me. And I'm identifying those things and praying past them so I can get on over to a new spiritual level and be more useful and more effective for God. Amen. That's what we wanted to say today. And we pray that you have gotten a good word from this message today. We pray that you will share it with your family and friends. Share it on Facebook, Twitter, wherever you have an outlet. And remember, as we mentioned, we're going to be posting Teaching Bible Radio messages again on the Anchor format. In case you joined us late, go to anchor.fm/Landis-Fisher, and that'll get you on our page. Not much there yet, but we're going to be in the process this week and in the coming weeks of loading an entire catalog of messages there that we used to broadcast on the air over the past 15, 20 years. Amen. And some of the newer stuff also. But in either case, we thank God for you, and we hope that you have gotten a good word this evening for yourself, something you can share with a friend, a relative, a neighbor, even an enemy, as I always like to say. Don't ever forget your enemies. You realize that they wouldn't be your enemy if they were saved. That's the short story. But pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully misuse you. See, Jesus challenged people to go beyond where you are. You can go deeper. You can go further. You can get better. See, there were some disciples that he called the sons of thunder, because they said, Lord, if they don't believe in you, let's just burn them up. Remember that? They didn't have the right attitude. Jesus said, man, that's not the spirit that we are of. That's not the spirit of God. Burn them up because they don't believe. No, we don't do that. We minister to them. We live an example before them. We do just the opposite. We show them the love of God. We pray for them. And that's what God would have you and me do. Amen. So we hope you're challenged by the message. We thank God for you. Hope to see you again on this weekend, and perhaps even more often. We're looking at some other possibilities, too, for doing some other productions in spreading the gospel. Amen. So we hope you have benefited from this, and share it with your friends. We love you. Praying for you, and please pray for me. And I leave you that in Jesus' name. Amen.